just had another worship service, huh? I mean, we had a great one last night and today. There's something amazing about when this busy life and everything that goes on, we can just put it aside and focus on what really matters in life. And I'm trying to make this transition, but I'm sure some of you guys remember Popeye? You know, he was that little freakish character that had those huge forearms. I mean, they were like balloons, his forearms, you know. He had this jowl that went down. He had like this painful look in his eye, you know. You know, and he'd be, you know, that little phrase that he'd say, "That's all I can stand because I can't stand it no more," you know. And I'm not his therapist, but I think it probably has something to do with the relationships of the people that he hangs around, you know. He was with Olive Oil, you know. She was always laying there taking selfies of herself, you know, and she's very self-focused and trying to get the guy's attention, and you know, and then Bluto would come, and Bluto was fine with Popeye until they got in the fight over the girl, and then all this tension would come up, and for each of them, they would get to their own point that they'd say, "Enough is enough." And every episode was the same thing. It was this chaotic, dysfunctional relationship that kept going on and on and on. And the truth is, for each one of us, we run across these things in life that we say, well, enough is enough. And as we look at this series, what I want you to know is this is a new series, and it's called Fall Forward. And over the next 4 weeks, we are going to look at some of the biggest issues that we deal with in life. For some of you, you're like, "Oh, Pastor, nobody's dealing with what I'm dealing with." Well, wait a second. I may not be dealing with what you're dealing with, but God can deal with those things. There's nothing too big for God, and we're going to look at that. And so what we're going to see, we're going to, specifically today, we're going to look a lot at worry and anxiety. Is that something that happens in our society? Maybe just a little bit, right? I should have talked about it last week after everybody got evacuated, you know. But the reality is we deal with those worries. We worry about our finances. We worry about our relationships. We worry about our health. We worry about our friends. We worry about the people around us. There are so many things that we get caught up in that become so stressful. When you're waiting for that doctor's call to get the results of the tests, you know, it's like how much stress, how much anxiety, how much worry takes place at that point. And what you'll see is that, you know, this last week I was looking at, I'm a Gen X. I'm Generation X. And so for me, you know, after they named us Gen X, then they quickly said, "Oh, that's the slacker generation." Have you heard that? You know, they're like, "Oh man, they're just a bunch of slackers," or they're in their parents' basement and they're never gonna get a life. And now we're in our 40s and 50s, and we've survived. And then millennials, you know, we give a hard time to, we're like, millennials, you know, can they figure anything out? Well, the study I found out was pretty interesting. It said that millennials get stressed out about a lot of things, but they also call millennials the Y generation, and they said that they get stressed out. One of the things is that there's been a decline in cereal sales because millennials don't like all the effort involved in a bowl of cereal. And it's like, I mean, it does get a little complicated. Where is that spoon? Who cleaned the spoon? You know, where's that bowl? You know, and so, but you know, as we talk about those things, it also goes beyond that. And now with the XYZ generation, which is all my kids actually fall into the Z generation, and they say that 91% of them struggle and have massive stress over the future, over what college they're going to get into, what type of job they're going to have, what type of relationships they have. That means that if you see a child that's in that generation, that 9 out of 10 of them are very stressed out about what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, it's more than just handing them a drug and thinking, "Oh, that's going to take care of it." There's something bigger than that. And so that's where I believe that God wants to meet each one of us right where we're at. And we're going to start out in this 4-part series. I want to give you a little idea of how we're going to do it. We're going to start in the book of Philippians each week, and we'll read it together. So we'll read the scripture together. We're going to pull out a little piece of that. We're going to look at it. And then we're going to look at another part of the Bible. And what we're going to do is look at the bigger picture of it and how it relates to where we're at and how we're dealing with things in life. And I believe in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. I believe as we open up, as the worship team, we were talking about that this morning, that as we open up and we surrender our lives and we say, hey, God, there is nothing off limits in my life. Everything that I'm dealing with, everything that I'm feeling is yours. God, you can do what you want. I believe that when we're that open to that, then God says, oh, that needs to be moved. Perfect. I want to move that because I want to fill it with something else. And so I want to encourage you, if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read this together. It's on the screen. It's in your program. But let's say it out loud, loud and proud. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay, so I want you to, in your Bible, in your notes, I want you to underline, don't worry about anything. That's what we're really going to focus on today. Such a huge thing. And so it's like, how is that even possible, Rich? Is it even possible for me not to worry about things like this? I mean, I can, if you spent like about 10 minutes in my brain, you'd be like, wow, this guy is insane. Because it's like, I can take the smallest issue and I can just jump to conclusions. Okay, so if Tina doesn't come home in the next 3 minutes, that's probably because of an accident and because this happened and because the car and because of this. And now I'm going to have to raise the girls by myself. And now what do I do? Do I do my own funeral for her or not? Do I get someone else? Do I have to rent the room? And then Tina comes home and she's like, hey, I got some at Starbucks, you know? And it's like, oh, you know, but my brain just jumps through all of these different things. I just get so anxious and frustrated about things that never even took place. And so, you know, it's like when I read that and I hear Paul, because Paul is writing this in jail. We want to make sure we get it in context. Paul is in jail. He went to Rome. He wanted to be able to share the great love of Jesus Christ. And instead, he got put into prison. He's chained to a guard 24/7. There's always someone else. They're chaining him up. And Paul is there. Now, Paul's writing this, and I think if there was anyone that should be angry, if there's anyone that should be frustrated, if there's anyone that should be worried and anxious, I mean, think about it. Every day, am I going to die or not? Is today the day I'm going to die or not? And Paul pens these letters. He's writing it, and he says, don't worry about anything. Okay, so how in the world could he say that? How in the world could he truly believe that? And so what I want to do, I want to look in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at a prophet that may be like some of you, maybe like me. You know, when I look at him and I'm like, wow, he really loved God. He loved God and he wanted his life to make a difference. He saw the faithfulness of God. He saw God show up in some just powerful ways. He saw how God provided for him, and he massively struggled with worry. He massively struggled with anxiety. He saw God show up, and we're going to look at some of those ways, and you're like, wow, that's unbelievable. God showed up, but he still was like, oh, I'm stressed out, because what if this happens, and what if that happens, and how do I respond to it? His name's Elijah. And Elijah, he as we read the scripture, he confronted a king. So he watched a situation that was wrong. How many of you have seen a situation that was wrong? You're like, okay, that's not right. That's not good. Now, I got to tell you, sometimes I look at things and I'm like, wow, that's wrong. Man, I'm waiting for someone else to stand up. Come on, Scott, stand up. You're Daniel, stand up. Come on. You know, and we're looking for other people to stand up. But Elijah stood up to this king, and he was a wicked king. Don't get me wrong. This guy was wicked. He was bad news. And then he prophesied over, and he said, hey, you know what? There's going to be your land is going to be hit by drought. God told me, you know, like sometimes you know something bad's going to happen, and you just don't want to say anything. You're like, I don't want the person to get mad. I don't want to get them frustrated. I'll just be quiet, okay? But Elijah, he was one of those guys that he knew he had to stand up for what was right. And as he shared that, King Ahab did not like him. King Ahab was mad and he was angry. And he said, because of this, you're like a thorn in my side. Because of you standing up and you walking around with that one true God, I'm gonna kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get, over the next 3 years, he's got his men on the run after Elijah. They're doing everything it takes to try to track him down, to kill him. Well, you know what? That's really one of the things that Elijah dealt with is I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And a lot of you have that same thing. You know, I don't know. Well, you know, if you write down, what's the best way to die? You know, I'd like to die in my sleep. You know, hopefully I'm not driving the car while I die. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, people have these different ideas of what would be the best way to die. And Elijah's like, man, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to die. And so his life started to be kind of consumed by that. It's being consumed by, man, I don't want to die, you know, and this guy's threatening my life. And so there's fear and anxiety, and he's on the run. And in the midst of all of that, I want you to understand is God kept showing up. It's not like God turned his back on Elijah and said, wait a second, he's got a problem. Oh, boy, he's not really trusting in me. No, God was there, and God continued to provide for him. God continued to be there for them. He, you know, it was like God would just drop bread down for him. He dropped meat down for him. He dropped ravens down for him. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? You know, hey, you know what? I'll drop a Big Mac down for him. You know, hey, I'll drop this down for him. Yeah, I'll give him what he needs at the time. I'll give him exactly what he needs. Let me just drop it down. And he saw God's hand move. He saw the person that, you know, it's like, wow, they got a really bad HMO. It's not doing any good. He actually raised someone from the dead. I mean, could you imagine those things of how God just moved? And guys, I just want to pause for a second, because you may not be Elijah, but I think if you think about it for a moment, you can start to think about how God has been there every step of the way. That the reason why you're here is because God's not done. The reason why you've gone through the things that you've gone through is it's God's hand. You may say, oh boy, that was an ugly situation. Oh boy, that was a horrible thing. Boy, you would never want to imagine that thing without God, would you? You know, it was God that was there in the midst of those things. And he still struggled. I mean, he was a great man of God. And he still struggled with things. And so even though God would show up, he would still struggle. See, I mean, I think about it this way, is that when you look at his life and you look at every step of the way, God was faithful. He continued to provide for him. There was a point where there's 850 other people. It was a standoff. It's about the one true God. Elijah said, I'm going to stand up for the one true God. And they're like, no, we're all about this false God. And could you just imagine 850 people right next to you, totally against you? Well, and you're standing alone. And God showed up and he just blew everyone away. Literally by flames, you know. I mean, it was intense, and then you start to see the king Ahab, he's trying what he can, you know. Let's get this guy. He's bugging me. He's bad. But I tell you, behind every good leader is a strong woman. And his wife was not strong in the good way. All right, she made her husband looked like Mother Teresa. I mean, seriously. I mean, she was hardcore. And she basically said, enough's enough. All right, this Elijah's going around doing all these other things. We're going to totally take him out. We're going to do whatever it takes. We are going to just annihilate him. And so Elijah is completely freaked out. A lady named Jezebel is saying, I'm going to take him down. I am going to destroy him. And what I want you to understand is that even though God was doing all these amazing things, it's very easy to change our perspective from God to something else. And that's what worry's all about. That's what anxiety's all about. It's kind of like faith in the negative. So instead of having faith in what God can do, I start to believe in what the enemy does, what things have taken place in the past, what things of the traps of the enemy, and I start to believe in that, and I start to focus on that. See, I read this study, and it was talking about the things that play with our minds and things that are hard to believe, and one of them is this. Okay, so dense fog, think about this, and we think about like LA, and so you got dense fog that covers 7 blocks. Okay, 7 blocks, 100 feet deep. All right, so think about that. That is just, you can't see anything. You are just lost in that fog. What that's actually made up of is 1 cup of water. 1 cup of water divided in 60,000 million drops. 1 cup of water can shut everything down. What we choose to focus on, what we choose to look on, that we think is so big, really is drops compared to God. Compared to the creator and master of the universe, but it's so easy to get distracted with those things. And I want you to know that Elijah, you know, he's at that point, and he's like, wow, what more can I do with life? And I, as I read this scripture, I want you to really think and say, okay, Rich, how does this connect? What are some of the choices and decisions that he's making here? So in 1 Kings 19, and starting in verse 3, I want you to, if you've got some, go ahead and just start writing it down. Start to highlight, start to underline things that you're like, huh, these could be things that could really make a difference. These are mistakes. These are traps that we can fall into. And so Elijah loved the Lord, but this is what it says, is that Elijah was afraid and that he fled for his life. That he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. You know, one thing I love about what he wrote is the honesty. Sometimes when I meet Christians, American Christianity, it's all about saying the right answer. How are you feeling? I'm feeling great. You know, hey, are you having any struggles? No, I just love the Lord. Okay, yeah, and so, you know, what about, how's the workplace? And so, I just love the Lord. Oh, I just pray more. I just do this and I do that. And it's like, wait a second, you're just not being honest. And then when everything breaks and falls apart, it's like, oh, what a hard thing. That's why I love small groups, to be able to go and share the truth about what's going on in your life. We just celebrated the life of Connie yesterday, and she was a part of our small group, and I just love the honesty that she always gave and that she shared. And that's what we get when we're in those small situations, is that we're able to be honest with the people that are around us. But here's what I want you to look at, is I believe that Elijah was completely honest, but he was making some choices, not God. He was making choices that was making it difficult for him. Here's the very first thing. Write it in. is that we run ourselves into the ground. Elijah ran himself into the ground. Guys, some of you that are dealing with anxiety and worry and frustration right now, you are running yourself into the ground. You're like, I got to work harder. If I just work harder, then we can get everything done. Just one more day of overtime. Just one more day of this. Just one more day of that. If I just work harder, everything will get fixed. And we run ourselves completely into the ground. The next thing that we see in that is he shut people out. He shut people out. He's like, let me drop people off here. Let me drop people off there. And what we do is we think, well, if I'm just a rock, I'm just an island, I'm all frustrated and I'm going crazy, it's better for me to be like this than to affect other people, right? No, you know what? God gave you those people around you for a purpose because they love and they care about you. If you choose not to use it, that is your problem, not God's. Don't blame God about that. God wants you to find safe people that you can trust. Okay, then what we see is that we see a focus on the negative. This is what we see with Elijah. Even though God had done so many amazing things, he is focusing on what's wrong. Guys, that's for some people, that's what their continual story is. They could have just won the lottery, they did all these other things, and then they've always got that negative thing because that's what they're looking at. It's their choice. A lot of times we're like, you know, God, just help me with my frustration, help me with my anger, help me. Quit looking at what's wrong and instead start looking at what's right. Start to thank the Lord for what's going on. See, there's some people with an idea, life's never going to get better. Not for me. I've always had the bad end of the stick. You know, nothing's ever going to change. It's always this way. Guys, when you're looking at it, that's what path you're on. That's exactly where you're going to keep going. But when you start to choose to look a different way, and here's a fourth thing that we see with Elijah, which I think we can fall into that trap, is that we go from focusing on the negative is that we forget God. We forget God, the creator, master of the universe. And we forget how big he is. Compare God to your problems. God is always bigger than your problems. A lot of times we end up worshiping our problems. Oh boy, it's so huge. You know, this could never change. Oh boy, this relationship will never change. Oh boy, there's nothing good that could ever come out of this situation. And we are just worshiping the sin instead of the creator, the one that can change everything. And as we watch Elijah's life, I shared with you every step of the way, God was doing amazing things. But he chose not to focus on that, but to focus on the things that were going wrong. See, God was faithful in so many ways. And that's what we have to stop and look at. It's like, how has God been faithful in my life? What are the things? That's why I encourage you, one of the best things that you can do is to pull out a pen and to pull out a piece of paper and start writing, what has God done? What has God done in my life? What are the things that God has done? And you start to write those things. It's like, wait a second, I forgot about that. God did do that. You know what? God did protect my family. You know what God did? I mean, you can just start going through it. And that's why it's important in your quiet time to write those things down, because it's so easy to forget those things. We start focusing on other things. But what I love in this picture, when we look at Elijah, so he's this man of God, right? So don't you think God's going to come and just kick him in the backside and say, come on, stupid, you know, you're so dumb, you're so, you know. And instead, God is so patient and God is so loving. He comes, and I'm going to read this passage, and you're just going to see God's hand. Guys, for some of you, you still think that God's going to kick you. That you just keep lying and say, I'm doing great. God knows exactly where you're at. Just be honest with him. And God wants to come, and God wants to lovingly say, I'm holding you. I've never left. I created you, and I'm continuing to be there in your life. Guys, we're tougher on ourselves way more than God. God looks down and says, yep, that's my kid. Let's fix it. Let's get going.
Here's what it says in 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 11. It says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, guys, what a powerful picture. The Lord passed by. A mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Guys, God's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He was in the whisper. The whisper. God was in the whisper. So why is God's voice so quiet? There's so many other loud things. There's so many other distracting things around us. Why doesn't God have that huge, powerful voice? "This is what I want for you. This is, you know," and grabbing you and pulling you and making you do things. Why isn't God doing that? Why is he whispering? He whispers, and you can write this in, is that God is always close. God is always close. I made a mistake. We were doing a family thing, and I don't remember. Actually, it wasn't too long ago, and I remember everybody's kind of running, and I realized that people didn't do what they were supposed to do, and so then I look, and I realize, oh, things aren't going to be done, and I'm like, "Hey, everybody do my," you know, and I'm trying to tell everybody to do what they need to do, and I turn around, and I'm like inches from Tina, okay, and Tina's like, "Why are you yelling at me, you know, and I'm right here, you know, and you're talking to the wrong..." Here's the whole thing, is that God is so close that he whispers. He wants to make sure, "I'm right here. I'm right here." What happens when we whisper is we've got to push out the distractions. We've got to turn things down. We've got to tune things out to hear what's right in front of us. Who shouts? The devil shouts. The devil screams. Have you ever met that person that they want to win the argument and they're totally wrong? And their volume keeps getting louder and louder and louder? Like the louder they get, then it's like, okay, I'm just going to finally walk away. Okay, you know. And that's exactly what the enemy does. He gets louder and louder and louder. He's yelling at us. See, what about the brokenhearted? When you're broken and you're like, "Oh, I'm just so hurt. I'm so empty." God is right there. God wants to speak into your life. When you're so overwhelmed, when you're so struck down, when you feel abandoned, God wants to speak to you. But he's not going to compete with other things. And guys, sometimes it's those outside noises. It's those other people that we've got around us. Those are actually competing voices. But sometimes it can even be my voice that I keep talking instead of just waiting to listen to God. Oh, this. God's like, "Okay, give me a break. Give me a chance to whisper. Give me a chance to say anything." And I just keep going on and on and on. Well, I've got a quick list of some things because I believe that God is always there. But are there things that we can do to distract? So if you want to write these things in, you can. You can catch it online if I go too fast. But one of them is sometimes we get stressed out, we get freaked out because we're relying on our own memory. You know, sometimes in life, got a very simple thing to help out. Just bring out a piece of paper, take out your phone, dictate. Problem with me with voice with recognition. Do you guys use that at all? My kids tell me, they're like, "That shows you're old, Dad, because you do that. And because you don't know how to text fast." But what it does, it's an amazing thing because as I do voice to text, it never comes out the same. So I'll be like, "Okay,
pick up groceries at the store, tell Tina I love her. You know, okay, so that's my message. Okay, then I look at it later, it says a dinosaur has eaten the car. You know, and so it's like you gotta be careful as you're writing down your notes. But you write them down and you're like, wait a second, I gotta remember this. Okay. That makes things so much less stressful. Another thing is to actually get up 15 minutes earlier in your day. For some of you, it's 50. Oh man, I see spouses pointing at spouses. Never a good thing, you know. But the reality, it helps keep away all the whole frazzle of things. Keep a duplicated key in your wallet. You know, what were some of the other ones? Let's see. When you're stressed out, when you're worried about things, just get up, take a walk, get on the treadmill, do something to refocus your mind. Learn to say no. If you're starting to get stressed out about things, learn how to say no about the things that aren't the most important things. Learn to say, wait a second, I know what's best. Okay, if I do something good, I'm not going to be able to do what's best. And so learn to be able to say no to things, be able to put your brain in gear before talking to people. Like a lot of times people say, hey, what do you think of what I just sprung on you? Well, wait, give me a little bit of time and I'll respond back. Guys, that can be a very, very freeing thing with stress, because a lot of times we're like, oh, I just responded and I didn't really know what I was thinking and I didn't know what was going on. You know, another thing is for everything that goes wrong, guys, sometimes, I mean, if you're at all like me, the magnifying glass gets put on me. When I screw up, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was the biggest thing in the whole world. And the reality is I should just, at that point, close it and say, what are the 50 to 100 things that God has allowed to go right? What are those things? And it really starts to change our stress level. We learn to live, you know, what's that phrase? One day at a time. But it also helps to do one thing at a time. Sometimes we think we could do a gazillion things at the same time. No, that actually becomes very, very stressful. Another thing is that when we get so frustrated about that small stuff that we forget about the big thing that's God's doing. Guys, something that's helped me recently is when I'm dealing with stress and frustration, guys, laughing is a beautiful thing. Guys, just laugh when somebody says, hey, they just towed your car. Oh, yeah. You know, and everybody's looking around. They're like, man, he's lost it. Rich has absolutely lost it. But what I've realized is when you laugh about those things, is it's a freeing thing. And God's given us all these tools to be able to deal with life and to remember that when we face unpleasant things, I encourage you, if you got a big decision, a big conversation, a big something, do it early. You know, say, hey, God, give me time. Let me prepare and let me get this thing done and knocked out and know that God is there with you. Be prepared for those things. Well, how does this whole thing end? Okay, so we look at Elijah and we see that he was stressed out. He was afraid that he was going to die. Well, the reality, how many of us in this room are probably going to die? Yeah, everybody. Okay, if not, we'll talk later. So here's the whole thing, is that he ended up spending his life investing into someone else. And he said, okay, wait a second. I'm here for a season. I've got people that want to kill me. What am I going to do? He invests into Elisha. And him and Elisha, they're going for a walk. And God knows exactly what Elijah is dealing with. And so as they're walking, it's the coolest thing. It's now time for Elisha to move forward, to be a prophet, to be used by God. And God came and said, hey, keep walking, Elijah, I'm going to just take you up to me. And it's the coolest thing, because you're like, okay, the thing that he feared the most, the thing that he was so worried about, God said, I'll take care of it. You're so worried about death? Just keep walking. I'm going to hold you and take you all the way up. Guys, what are the things that you're really worried about? What are the things that you're really stressed out about, that you're like, oh my gosh, if this happens, oh, I think about it all the time, and if this happens, do you really believe that God will hold you there? They say that the average person's anxiety is focused 40% of the time on things that will never happen. So the things that we're anxious about, 40% of those things will never take place. Listen to this. 30% of the things that we're anxious about are really things in the past that we can't change anyway. And 12% of the things that we're anxious about and worried about are criticisms of other people, of what they think, of what their ideas are. 10% are stressed out and worried about health, which does stress help your health? No, it makes it worse. So we're all stressed out. My blood pressure's bad. Oh, well, of course it is. You're going around crazy. All right, sit down. No more Red Bulls today, you know, and you just relax. But what's funny is that only about 8% of the things that we stress out about, that we're anxious about, that we're worried about, will even take place. So we have to choose at that point, what am I going to focus on? 8% are things that I could actually do something about. The rest, it's out of my control. And so a lot of times we've got to look, and guys, you've got to realize that no matter what your obstacles are, no matter what you're dealing with, God will hold you there. God will take you to where you need to come. You're not the overcomer. God is. God is the one that will overcome your situation. God will take care of you wherever you're at. See, there's no heartache that God can't heal. There's no situation that is too big for God. When you think about it right now, guys, close your eyes. What are the biggest issues that you're dealing with right now? And how big are those issues compared to the God that you worship? And the problem is sometimes that God that we worship is so much smaller than those issues, so much smaller than those things. Guys, I encourage you today to start to say, God, what are the things that I'm dealing with? Clarity brings accountability. What am I really stressed out about? What am I really frustrated about? And then say, God, what are we going to do about it? God, how are you going to help me through this? Are there things that I need to change? Are there things I need to do? But God wants to meet you right where you're at. So when we look at the very last point today, is to don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything that's going on. Worry distracts you from what God has. And like I said, oh boy, that's really easy to say. Well, it is when we realize that God is going to hold you, that he's going to carry you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. God, with our choices and our decisions of life, God, as we experience tough times, just like Elijah, a man who just loved you so much, but he allowed outside influences to dominate things that were going on. No matter as much as you were showing up, he missed you at times. And God, that's true for each one of us. How we can miss you. As much as you show up, we can miss you. And God, I ask that you would be with each one of us, that you would bring clarity to the things that you've done, and that you're not done with us yet. Each person, from the youngest to the oldest person in this room, God has a plan for your life. But it's not about worshiping the God of problems, things that are broken in this world, but it's as we turn and worship you. And God, for some of us today, it's about surrendering our lives to you. It's about giving our lives to you. Some of us, it's a first time. Becoming a Christian is not about joining a church. It's not about paying money or doing certain rituals. It's about surrendering my life to Jesus. And for some of you, you're like, Pastor, that's exactly where I'm at today. I just got to surrender my life to Jesus. Some of you say, Pastor, I said a prayer a while back. I read a little book and I was at an event and I was at this concert. But maybe today, you're like, wait a second. I really just have to give my life to him.
I just have to surrender everything to him, just let go and just say, God, you take it. If that's you, before we go any further, before we worship more the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for some of you, you just want to make that clear. You say, today I'm just letting go. Today I'm just giving that to God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just ask, would you look up at me if that's you? If today's the day that you're like, yeah, today's the day I want to get my life right with God. Today's the day I want to surrender. Just look up at me if that's you. I want to agree with you this week, because your life matters. God has a calling on your life, and God can't use you if you're focused in the wrong direction. God wants to release you today. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.